Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit, Pastor Bala Bello. Enjoy the Spirit.
This is the hour, the moment of truth, the time of reality, the time of service, the time of commitment, the time of the bread of life. I commit this moment, this hour, this season, this few minutes that you intend to speak with us, that you will deal with us according to sounds in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You will speak to us as your friend, as your children in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Open our eyes. Let the veil be torn. Let the Spirit be unveiled. Let the glory of the Lord come down. Take hold of the lips of clay and turn it to the lips of power. Take hold of those who are unlearned and let them speak like learned. Take hold of those who are of the flesh and let them speak as prophets. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, have your way. No man will have his way. No imaginations and every thought that is raised against the word of God will cast down in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Men that are not saved will come to the knowledge of salvation. Men that are yet to know you will come to the knowledge of knowing. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, there shall be deliverance. There shall be salvation. The house of Jacob will possess. You will possess the inheritance that is laid for each and every one of us. The time has come for the church to lay hold. We will lay hold on them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, dear Father. Blessed be to the name of the Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we are praying.
I want to thank God for this privilege to stand. I thank my friend, my pastor, for this privilege. I appreciate you, Sir Ma. Praise the Lord. I also want to appreciate all our colleagues who are seated here. Praise the Lord. I briefly want to talk about what I have titled as spiritual warfare. Praise God. Spiritual warfare. We've heard so much about spiritual warfare, but I guess many of us have little understanding of what it is to be involved in the spiritual warfare. I don't know. I don't want to claim that I know it all. But I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit will unveil the little that will be of great reward for us, even this moment, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, first and foremost, I want to make this sentence. The combat between flesh and spirit is essentially for dominance. Praise the Lord. It's a conflict. It's a conflict. There's always a conflict. Paul was looking at this. He said flesh and spirit war against each other. It's a conflict. Why? Because one want to dominate the other and the other want to dominate the another. Praise the Lord. And so much more it is because we are unwillingly, unknowingly, ignorantly brought into the conflict of the spirit and we become the prime target. Praise the Lord. We are brought into the conflict of the spirit and we become the prime target. So in other words, those who are ill-informed, those who did not have a better understanding of what is spiritual warfare, are most likely to become victims in that fight. Praise God. They are likely to become victims in that fight. And you have seen a lot of preachers who talk about spiritual warfare and they think it's about deliverance. No, that's not spiritual warfare. Praise God. They think it is about casting out demons. If it is casting out demons that deals with the work of spiritual warfare, I think a lot of demons have been cast out from the heart of people, but yet we still discover that we are engaged in spiritual warfare. The best in the church is involved in this daily spiritual warfare. It's a daily conflict. Praise God. So we want to see, can you give me the book of Ephesians chapter 6? Ephesians chapter 6. Give me from verse 11. Go to 10. He said, finally, brethren, be strong in what? In the Lord. And now Paul talks about the might of God. And it was a prayer of Paul that he might put in us the might of God. It is the might of God inside of a man that make an individual to be strong in the Lord. Now, one of the primary things that a believer require in engaging and in winning in this conflict of the spirit is for him to be first and foremost to be strong in the Lord. Now listen, the first thing that the flesh does is to bring weariness into you, to bring discouragement unto you, to tell you that you don't have capacity and enablement, you don't have what it takes to be part of this warfare. It discourages you that you are not a soldier, you've not been trained. So the Bible said that finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. Now, the word finally talks about the totality of what I have said to you is that you must be strong in the Lord and in the power of what? Of His might. Verse 11. He said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. I don't have time to talk about the wiles of the devil. Over and again, we have spoken about the wiles of the devil. But most importantly, it denotes these tricks, device, and intrigues. Those things that he used to lure us into disobedience against the spirit. It's the wiles of the devil. Well, I'm not talking about the wiles of the devil, but he said, put on, please go back, put on the whole armor of God. Listen, let it be clear to you that you can't be involved in spiritual warfare until you have this armor. It's a parachute. We call it spiritual parachute. Praise God. Now, when you look at parachute, it's made of silk and it was made out of light. Now, what parachute does is to suspend the motion. Okay? It does what? It suspends the motion. Now, it restrains the law of gravity. So that it doesn't really fall. When somebody is flying on the air and, you know, there is crash and you come on parachute, it holds you. It suspends that motion. You know, the gravitational motion is so strong and it's very, I don't know, the speed is high. So parachute will suspend it and it will hold it. Praise God. The same thing, the spiritual parachute is what makes you to be part of the spirit realm. Now, it makes you to be invisible. Listen to this. As powerful and strong the Lord Jesus Christ is, he cannot be engaged in the activities of the earth until he has the nature of man. Do you understand? He cannot be involved. There is no way he can be involved. He cannot be involved in the activities of man. He can't help man. He need to become man before he can help man. In other words, he need to put on the nature of man. That is the parachute. Now, what we see in Jesus Christ, when the book of John in chapter 1 verse 13, quickly give me, we will come back here. The book of John chapter 1, he said, which were born not of blood, do you know? And he was not born of the will of flesh. Now, it denotes that Jesus Christ was not a flesh person. Okay? He was not a man, as it were, originally. He was not born of the flesh. He was not born of the blood. He does not consist, his original nature does not consist blood. He doesn't need nature to survive. Okay? He doesn't need flesh to survive. But he needed blood and flesh in order to operate as man and among men. Do you understand? He needed that to operate as man and among men. So, in other words, he needed to put on the nature of flesh before he can operate among men. The same thing with Satan. Do you know that Satan needed to put on the nature of flesh before he can operate as among men? That's why I said, and in the garden, can you give me the book of Genesis chapter 3? He put on what? He became snake. Do you understand? He put on snake nature. Why Jesus Christ put on the nature of man What we saw Satan putting on as flesh. Of course, snake is flesh. You know that. It's not a spirit. What Satan needed to put on is snake nature. So that he can operate. There's no way he would have capacity and audacity to speak unto man. And listen, of course, if there was another man in existence that time, he wouldn't have used snake. He would have used man. Do you understand? That's the reason why he's not using snake now. He's using man because he can inhabit man. He can inhabit man. But there's nobody to inhabit than who is as wise as man and snake. Oh, snake is as wise as man. Do you understand? You know the Bible says that be wise as what? As happened. Even asking us, he's using metaphor, that simile that we should be as wise. It's a training. So he know that the person who have the capacity, the intelligence of man is snake. And so he put on that flesh in order to operate. Look at, now the serpent was more subtle than the beast of the field, which the Lord God had made, and said unto the woman, it was not serpent, it was Satan that became serpent. It was Satan that became serpent. Now, why am I saying all this thing? I'm saying all this thing is that in spiritual warfare, you need a nature. Can you take us back to that book of Ephesians? You need an armor. You need certain armor that will enable you to be effective warfare. And until that armor is there, you can't be engaged in the spiritual warfare. You can't fight there. You are not part of it. You are not enlisted. As a matter of fact, the first indices of your enlistment as a soldier of Christ is this armor. And that armor is an invisible armor. Oh, praise God. He said, put on the whole armor. When somebody is traveling to space, he cannot operate in the space until he put on what? Space suit. He need to put on space suit. That is what enable him to operate in the space. Otherwise, there's no way he can operate. He can't stand. The law of gravitation will not allow him to stay in there. That's why you see them jumping like this. And it was that suit. This is, all of these things are lesson to us, that before we can be engaged in this spiritual war, it is not a warfare of flesh and blood. It is not a warfare of flesh and blood. That's why when I see somebody and said that it is my stepmother, it's not your stepmother that is doing you. You are still talking like carnal person. You are still carnal. It is not your stepfather. It is not your step. It has nothing to do with your stepfather. It has nothing to do with your stepsister. It is Satan. Praise God. Now, it is possible for Satan to inhabit, and that is what we are going, because basically, what the spirits, the good and the evil spirit does is to inhabit man. Okay? Do you understand? Is to what? Is to inhabit man, is to put on man before he can operate. I have said that enough, but I still want to lay an emphasis on it so that we can get it clear. Is to put on man to operate. And I've given you an example of Jesus and the example of Satan, both the good and the bad examples. Do you understand? So, before you can effectively operate in this warfare, you need this armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, if you go to the verse 14 of the book of John chapter 1, verse 14. Look at verse 14. He said, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Now, actually, it is quite impossible for anybody to see the glory in that man. Because what we saw in him is veiled. Do you understand? Hebrew 10. Quickly go to Hebrew 10, I think verse 19 or so. 10. Hebrew 10. Quickly give it to us. Okay. Okay, look at. Is that? Where I was talking about veil. It's in 10, Hebrew 10. 10:20. Thank you. Did you see it? He said, by a new and living way. By a new and living way, which had consecrated for us through what? Through the veil. Now, the new and living way which he consecrated to us through veil was that he was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the veil. He consecrated. So when we behold Jesus Christ, we are not actually seeing the glory. What we see in Christ is what? Is the flesh. Is the veil. Which does not essentially connote the glory. But the person of Jesus Christ is not the veil. The veil is just the covering for oppression. Okay? The veil is just the covering for oppression. He needed that veil so that he will be able to operate. But when the veil is taken away, that is why he was talking in the book of 2 Corinthians, I think in chapter 3. Is it 1 Corinthians chapter 3? 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He said, and as we behold. In other words, it requires a lot of beholding before that glory could appear. Do you understand? Otherwise, now, that's why it is difficult for a Muslim to believe him. They can't believe him because what they see is flesh. Now, when they want to glorify Jesus Christ, they see a prophet. Do you understand? They see a prophet. Yeah, he's a prophet. And they will also tell you that, no, it's too high a prophet to die. So what happened is that the angel just came and took him away in order to floor our... I was preaching to my nephew. You know what he said? And he said, Daddy, my eyes just opened. I now know that we are not serving the same God. I was happy for that statement. I said, you have made my day. He has finished saying it before he knew that he has made error. I said, thank you. This is where I'm taking you to. You've understood that we are not serving the same God. But it's late. You have said the truth. We are not serving the same God because our God is just covered with veil. He's a spirit. Because he's a spirit, that was why it was so easy for him to be engaged in the spiritual warfare and effectively combat Satan. Praise God. He effectively combat Satan. Now, let's go back to that Ephesians, please. Verse 12, please quickly, because of my time. He said, for we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. We wrestle, our warfare is not humanity. It's not among men. We are not armed forces. We are not like Nigeria Army or Nigeria Air Force who are fighting with flesh and blood. The Boko Haram. Now, there is something that is behind the Boko Haram which me and you can stay here and disarm. And that is the spiritual Boko Haram. Praise God. It's the spiritual Boko Haram. So it is not the gun that they shoot that will destroy Boko Haram. It is when me and you begin to fight in this warfare. And we see that it is a warfare. How can you imagine? I can't fathom it. But to some Muslim, is the right thing that a 10-year-old boy was beheaded because he was listening to Michael Jackson in Iraq. Is that the way to stop sin? Do you understand? Is that the way to stop sin? Is that the way to combat sin? When the Bible called Jesus Christ the friend of who? Of sinners. In other words, he understood that it is not the person, it is the sin that dwells in him, and sin is a spirit on his own. Praise God. Now, you cannot begin to see the reason why many people cannot overcome certain sins in their life. Why? Because they have seen those sins as a physical element. It's not physical, it is spiritual. And you need spiritual capacity. Spiritual strength before you can overcome it. He said, put on the whole, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principality, against power, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual. Now, who are the rulers of darkness of this world. Now, we can begin to name them in flesh. But behind those flesh as other subgroup who gather together and said that because of Christ, he said, oh wow, had the hidden rich. And the people imagine vain things. The people of this earth have gathered themselves together against what? Against the Lord. Against the anointed. Let's break their cord asunder. In other words, every decision that is taken by Obama is not singularly taken. There are caucus. There are principalities who want to rule the world. And they feel the only way for them to rule the world is by the oppression of power of darkness. These are the people that we call rulers of darkness in high places. So they are being represented by flesh. But in other words, oh yeah. I watch a film, The Star Wars. It gives us a picture of what spiritual warfare is all about. You find out there was a whole ancient person. If you are not careful, you will think that this is God. These people are terrible. They are very subtle in operation. They could get the picture. Do you understand? They could get the picture of, okay, this is how it's likely to look like. And it was that person that was giving them instruction on how to combat the world. How to alienate the world. Praise the Lord. These are the people that we are fighting against. Principality, against power, against ruler of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you. Did you see again? The first one is that finally. Did you see? The first one was finally take on the whole armor of God. This one is that put on the whole armor of God. The second one is that wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. It is the armor of God that makes you invisible in the battle. It is the armor of God that makes you to see the spirit behind those problems of yours. Oh yeah, I have problems. But I could see it. I could understand it. I could decode it. I know when somebody is against me, there is a spirit behind it, and the spirit is orchestrated for certain reason. And most of the time, you could denote, do I need to fight this? Or do I need to surrender unto this? Do you understand? The spirit person will understand what I'm saying. You just look at it, okay, this is, look at what Paul said. It's meant for promotion. You just look at it, say, this is for promotion. This is for leverage. This is for benefit. This is for reward. Now, it's only a spiritual person that will see warfare in that way. Do you understand? So, it is not everything that you roll your sleeve. You put on, you know, your short knicker. And you begin to box imaginary hair. And say, yes. Is that man? I resist you. You are playing amiss. You need to take on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand. Yeah. Now, the first one that we read was talking about the nature of that warfare. He called them the weapon as fiery darts. Fiery what? Fiery darts. They are flaming sword. Fiery darts essentially are flaming sword. Okay. Did enemies shoot at you a flaming sword physically? Answer, please. They don't. Otherwise, police will arrest them. Oh, need you don't have problem again. You just hand them over to police. He shot at me an arrow. Just report to police. Police will say, ah, Imbolongbe. Of course, you enrich police with that. But unfortunately, it is not so. The fiery dart a spiritual weapon. And now, what that weapon does is to elicit a burning in your flesh. That's why they call it fiery dart. It will elicit a burning. Now, look at the technology of Balak. Barak is enough. Do you remember that technology? They were looking for a way to curse Israel by all means, but they could not. And an inspiration come from the pit of the head. What you need to do is to provoke them to sin. Provoke them into rebelliousness. Provoke them, except the God of Israel intervened. Do you understand? And they were provoked. As soon as they were provoked, of course, the angel of death could easily meet in their midst. And they can say, hey, he's Amalekite. Hey, he's a Jebusite. He's not. It's because they do not understand the nature of spiritual warfare. The fiery darts that was sent against them is still being sent on daily basis to us. We must be careful. We must take note of these fiery darts. We must take note of these fiery darts. That is the only thing that will make us to be able to withstand it. Fiery darts, they are what elicit burning in us. It will provoke you. Go and do this. Walk this way. Say this thing. Make this statement. You can be angry. You can fight. You can defend yourself. This is the human rights life. You can say no. And before you know what is happening, you have turned the battle into carnal warfare. You know what Paul said? Says, he said, but the weapons of our warfare are not what? Are not carnal. Oh, yeah. Listen to this. When a lecturer is against you, you must go for a weapon. You have a weapon that is much more sophisticated than what lecturer has. What lecturer has is mark. But do you know the weapon you have? You have the weapon of his life. Do you know what I'm talking about? You have his life in your hand. You can decide his life. You can decide his fate. You can tell that man that, yes, enough. I don't want you again in this school. It's either I stay or you go. That's the weapon. And it's not something you say, come out and say, oh, my money, Jesus. You don't know that I have Jesus. I will show you my Jesus. Your Jesus will not show up. Because your Jesus does not puff up. He doesn't puff up. He doesn't show pride. Show him, yes sir, I've had you sir. And you move in into the room. And you carry your weapon. Which one do I use for this man? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Do I use weapon of mass destruction? Or I should use weapon of retrenchment? Or I should use weapon of... I told you a story of a man who was against me. This man hates me. He just came and he said today, yes, we've decided your case. You people are leaving. I just look at him and say, this guy is dead. In fact, it took me more than 3 months to decide his case. But what will I do for this man? And it came to mind, let him go. One prayer point I was praying, I said, God, strike him with spirit of error. Strike him with spirit of error. Let him make mistake. Strike him with spirit of error. I've not offended this man. Let the spirit of error come upon him. And I was praying that prayers. Guess what? When the spirit of error came on him, he brought guests into the office, contrary to the rule of the Navy, and they were drinking beer. He's my boss. I can't say anything. I look at, yes, this is error. What do I do? It came to me that I've been praying about it. And I call a man who can orchestrate it. You don't report your boss. I just phone. I said, Alaji, can you quickly come to the office now? He said, okay, I'm coming. Alaji is a civilian. He can do anything. I just said, go to that room. You know, Muslim, they hate beer. The man just said, I wish you be like. He said, you are a pastor. I said, you know my hand are tied. The man just went to our boss. Straight. They just carry him dead there from that seat. And they brought me here. Sit on his seat. Right in his presence. Praise the Lord. Weapon, you have weapon. It's not a carnal fight. It's not a warfare of blood and flesh. It's a warfare of prayer. That is why we must learn the art of prayer, the attitude of prayer. Listen, many of us that are not coming for Thursday prayer, you don't know what you are missing. You can't amount to anything in the kingdom until you are able to pray. Prayer is a lesson. They teach people on how to pray. Master, teach us how to pray. Do you understand? Oh, you can't pray right until you are taught. Do you understand? You have to be taught on how to pray.
before you can pray. Many prayers that most of us are praying that has not ascended. They have not gone beyond this roof. This roof is more holier than your prayer. Praise God. Because it does not have the rudiment of the Spirit. Now, so it is very, very important and clear. Now, one of the things that can make us to be very, very effective in a spiritual warfare is for us to have to understand the nature of the Spirit. Now, let me quickly say this in rounding up. Man has never at any point in time be a pawns to the spirits. Do you understand? We are not, though man is a servant of the Spirit, we must establish that. Man is a servant of, I think the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 19, to whom you yield your members, servant, to him, the servant who you are. Okay? Do you understand that? So man essentially is a servant, but man also have capacity to choose who he will serve. Do you get what I'm saying? Man, you have right to choose the devil as your master. You also have right to choose Christ as your master. When was it Joshua? He called all the Israel together. He said, choose whom you will serve. I give you liberty to make a choice. And you know what Bible says? He said, he has set before us death and life. Choose life so that you can live. So in other words, we have right. Thank you. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servant to obey, his servant you are. In other words, this has clearly shown an indicator that man is not a pawn. You know what a pawn is? You just use pawn to defend your principal officer. If you know how to play chess, you understand. To defend your principal officer. Pawn. Now, in the military, they will send the lance corporal, the trooper first. The lance corporal. The corporal. Then the sergeant, the staff sergeant, the lieutenant will follow. You understand? Then the captain will be behind. That's how they fight. Now, we can afford to kill many corporal, but we cannot afford to kill many lieutenant, and we cannot afford to kill many the captain. Of course, when major is there, major will just sketch it and say, you go this direction, you go this direction, you are the leader of the platoon. Do you understand? They will use one, sometimes they use staff sergeant that is experienced. You are the leader of the platoon, give command. Okay, you supervise. The one that is supervising will advance a little and say, you go, I will radio you when I have an instruction. Do you understand? It is not the same thing with man. We are not like that in the hands of the Spirit. Okay? Man is an asset unto the Spirit. Man is what? Is an asset to the Spirit. Now, the desire of the Spirit is to inhabit the man. Do you understand? Both for good and for bad reason. For both good and for bad reason. The desire of the Spirit is to inhabit man. So, now, whosoever you now yield yourself, the devil cannot force himself on you. Hello, church. So, many of you have lied against the devil. It's the devil that made me to do it. No. It's because you permit him to do what you did. It's the devil that makes me to lie. No, devil does not make, of course, he's a liar. We know that. When he's in you, he will orchestrate lies. But the first thing is that you yield your member unto him. Man is not a pawn. Man is an asset in the Spirit. And because that's what the Bible says. He said, oh Lord our God, how excellent in your name in all the earth that have made man. Listen, man is an essential weapon in the hand of the spirits. Okay? In the hand, when I say spirit, I'm talking of both the good and the evil spirit. Do you understand? Man is a weapon. Can you quickly give me the book of Jeremiah chapter 51? Thou art my battle hands. Please quickly.
Thou art my battle axe, that's man. And weapon of what? Weapon of war, that is man. You can see how phenomenal man is unto the spirit. You can see how important man is into the spirit. Man is very, very essential in the scheme of the spirit. Listen, now the last battle called Armageddon will be fought by who? By man. Of course, we are already in Armageddon. Oh, you don't know? Okay, don't worry. We'll get there. I think God is going to give Pastor Grace to elaborate on that. You're already in the Armageddon. What would be much more Armageddon than a man sleeping with man publicly? Do you understand? What could be much more than what Boko Haram and ISIS is doing? That a group of people, of faceless people, is shaking the entire world. Russia has not found solution. America has not found solution. You know how many nations are fighting these faceless people? I sat down, I just looked at it, I said, no, this is not ordinary. Who are these people? Where do they come from? And they were just hit in Syria, they were hit in Iraq. And they were being orchestrated by the demon in Iran. And the support is given to them by that monster in North Korea. Do you see what that king said recently? He said he's going to use the style of ISIS to attack South Korea. Oh, I said, okay, this is the spirit behind it. And when you look at the man, this is a principality and power. Do you understand? It's a principality and power. Now, you cannot begin to see that man holds the most prominent key in the onslaught to come. And that is the reason why man must be trained in the art of warfare. Man must be prepared as soldiers. Man must be informed of what is at stake. Man cannot afford to live his life anyhow. The pursuit of man should be more than bread and butter. Man should pursue the essence in which man is made. There is something that God needs for man before he created man. He said, I will use the best thing of this world to confound the wise. The best thing. Don't you know that it's prophetic? He was talking about Satan. I will use the best thing. He was talking about man. I'm going to use man to rubbish you. Man is the one that God will use to rubbish the devil. It's not the angel. The angels have done their own. They have done their own. God is waiting for the heart to do his own. And we cannot do it until we actually prepare to enter into this spiritual warfare. This is our song. This is our story. This is our calling, that all of us, we come and we be enlisted in this formidable army. All of us will be enlisted in this formidable force. All of us will become a weapon in the hands of the Most High God. And at the end of the day, he will welcome you into the realm of glory, into the realm of power, having done so satisfactorily well. This is what I call spiritual warfare. This is what the Lord God has called us to fight. This is our calling. My prayer to you is that every heart that is fainting shall be strengthened. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every knee that is feeble shall be made strong. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every hand that is down shall be raised up. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in this warfare you won't be a victim. In this warfare you won't be a victim. The discretion is required. God is going to give you a good initiative in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this program, you won't stand alone. I want you to tell yourself, I won't stand alone. Tell somebody, I won't stand alone. Tell another person, if you stand aloof, I'm not going to stand alone. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the grace to bring your word. Thank you for your saint. We ask, O God of glory, that you will let this word bear fruit in the name of Jesus. Blessed be to the name of the Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we have prayed. It's grace, your grace.
we hope that you have been richly blessed by this message. God demands that we not only be hearers, but doers of the word. We implore you to put these teachings to practice. Perhaps you have a question running through your mind in the course of the message. Forward it directly to pastor's email, pdtchurch@gmail.com. We desire to have you join one of our meetings, School of Dialysis, every Tuesday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Governmental prayers, every Thursday, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Sunday service, 9 a.m. at Power and Glory Tabernacle Auditorium, along Fulton Southgate Road, Akure. For more information about the ministry, log on to our website at www.pdtchurch.org or call 080-372-60299. Grace be with you. It's your grace.